And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. It is time for, let me just tell you, the weather is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful out. It's a little warm in here, but a little bit of a wind. It's supposed to be rain tonight and onward. So, that's the weather. And the weather around here is good. Arts are happening. Not as many as were a week ago, but they're still happening. And this is Carol with Arts Live and Local, which is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the old Finnish meat market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, and Wi-Fi and gifts open every day. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Imogen Gallery on 11th Street in downtown Astoria, with a brand new show. Tomorrow night is Art Walk in Astoria, presenting woodcarver Christopher Wagner and Kim Hamblin with her intricate hand-cut paper assemblages. Both artists use metaphor to show the strong symbiotic relationship between man, plant life, and animals, and women, too. The exhibition will be on display through April 7th. Information at 503-468-0620 and imogengallery.com. Welcome, everybody, in Squamish, Sydney, and Robin, if you're still here, and Omaha, and Seashell, Sev, and beloved Tessa, Eastside New York, howdy, and Westside, and Long Beach, California, that is, and Wyoming, and to all of you who have been listening and calling us and making your generous donations, thank you so much. We have here at KMUN, KTCB, suspended the pledge drive for right now. We'll be back. So you can still call and donate, or you can easily go online, coastradio.org, and you can pick up some of the wowzer goodies that we have for you. But right now, we're focused on healing, staying safe, making community as best we can in whatever way we can. And so I'm very pleased to be able to bring you the arts, because so much has been canceled, as many of you know, but so much is still going on. Before we get started, I have a song for you. And this goes right to the point. Be gesund. May you be healthy.
Glück lang sein. egal. Immer so geschirren, seine so gewirre, seine Wende ganze Welt. In der Wende das ganze Glied, in Trop in Gerd. Sollen alle suchen, sollen alle kriegen, da ich trag bei mir. Ich darf das auf der Pores, weil das Glied steht bei mein Tier.
So, folks, be sure that you are going to be healthy, are healthy, are maintaining health, whatever that means for you, whatever place you're coming from in your own body, mind, spirit, and heart. Do the best we can. And that's what we're doing here at Coast Community Radio. I am delighted to know that the folks in front of me are not in quite as much a rush as they might have been. I've got the coaster. I thought they were opening on Friday the 13th, but maybe they decided that wasn't quite the luckiest date. Hi, Patrick Lathrop, who is the executive director of the coaster and also the director of Play On, which is opening, get this, folks, and let all your friends know, it is opening April 3rd instead of tonight. And also in the room, I have someone who's been here at least several. You've been here a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah, three or four.
Yeah, because you've made your image with me better. How's that? That would be Barbie England. And the reason I say that is the first time I ever saw her on stage, not saying that was her first time, but it was my first time, she scared me something terrible. And I said, forget it. I don't want this woman in my house. I don't want her in my room. That's how good she is. However, she has resuscitated her image. So,
Thank you.
Barbie.
Hi.
Well, I'm not sure what part you're playing in this one. We'll find out. And brand new to me is Danielle Tinker, although you look familiar for some reason.
This is my third show at the Coaster. So, if
maybe
you've
seen you,
maybe you've seen me.
Yes. Yes. And, but here, this is your first time on KMUN?
Yes, it is.
And have you been on radio before?
No, I can't say that I have.
Oh, my goodness, folks, we have a double virgin.
Yes.
A radio virgin and a KMUN virgin. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful. So have you been, did you come recently? Is that why it's your third show?
Yes, my husband and I moved here from Portland a year ago last October.
Had you been doing theater in Portland?
Oh, yes, yes.
Are you a professional?
I use that term loosely. I have technically been paid.
Okay, I see.
If you want to put it in those terms. Yeah. No, my bachelor's degree is actually in theater, and I've been performing since I was a small child. And
what a nice addition to the Coaster family.
Very much so.
That's terrific.
She also has experience managing a theater in the Portland area, so we're utilizing her skills in that way also.
Excellent. Oh, excellent. Yeah. We'll get you up here, too, if you're, you might have some spare time. And Barbie, for those who don't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in theater?
I kind of got the bug in high school and then raised my kids before I ever got to get back into it again. So 20 years later or so, I started with Tillamook Association of Performing Arts.
Right,
Tappa. And did several plays with them and then moved around a bit and got started with the Coaster, not quite a year ago, and this is my third show with them.
And what was your first?
My first with the Coaster was And Then There Were None, and then followed by Savannah Sipping Society, which I actually did with Danielle, and now we're
So where
back.
Did I see the birds?
That was at Astoria, or Astor Street Opera Company.
I see. Okay, yes. That was the one that, yeah, That was the one that threw me.
Apparently it threw them, too. That's the only one I did there.
Well, I'd never seen the movie or any of that kind of... I don't go to scary stuff, usually. So I had... Yeah, I took a chance, and it worked. I was scared, so... And, Patrick, you have been at the Coaster for quite a number of years.
Yeah, actually, I came in 2009, so 2019 was my 10-year anniversary, and then I've been the executive director since March of 2013, so I'm in my seventh year as the executive director.
And you were doing costumes, and what were you doing for the first number of years?
I was working, besides acting. Yeah,
and...
I was working in the box office and working with the children, doing camps,
and then
a little bit of directing and some acting and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, who gets to choose the plays? Where did Play On come from? And then somebody give us an overview.
Play On was presented to there's a committee, a program committee, and that committee meets regularly and decides the various seasons. For instance, right now we're just about ready to determine our 2021 season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And within that season then we have we usually do a couple of musicals, we do plays, we do drama, and we try to find the right spot within the season to fit the various shows. It's based on the number of actors that are required. Sometimes that depends on the time of year, and there's lots of different variables that went in. But someone, I don't know who, presented Play On, and after the committee read it, everyone thought it was a delightful piece. It's basically, it's a show within the show, and it's a community theater putting on a play called Murder Most Foul.
Whoops.
And almost everything that can go wrong does go wrong, and it's very, very reflective of the small community theater at the Coaster Theater.
I had read a chaotic and comedic peek at Behind the Curtains, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So it is funny.
I would say chaotic.
Chaotic is good.
Yeah. Danielle plays Phyllis Montague, who is the playwright, and Barbie plays Jerry. What's your character's last name?
Jerry Dunbar.
Jerry Dunbar, who is the director. So it's very funny. The playwright wants to keep adding more, and the director has to say, "Well, no," and then the actors are all involved. So it's quite chaotic. Is a good word for it.
And how many people are there in this production?
10 actors.
Oh. Okay.
And then we have a stage manager and a booth operator. 6 of the characters are actors on stage, so they play themselves, and then they become their character within the play. And then 4 of the characters are the playwright, the director, the technician, and the stage manager, and they stay the same throughout.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me, Danielle and Barbie, and you can go back and forth or jump in. What attracted you to this play? Was it the chaos? Is that kind of...
It's always chaos. No, it just seemed like a very fun twist on giving the audience an idea of what happens backstage. Not that anything like this... as actually happening at Coaster.
Sorry, Patrick already blew your covers. Yeah.
And the character in particular for me was, I can't say that I've played anybody so antagonistic before, so that was kind of a fun
stretch
out of my comfort zone. So
what kind of stuff do you usually?
Oh, I guess antagonistic might be a strong word, but I would say my background is more in drama.
More serious
work.
So, I see.
I have done quite a bit of comedy, but I'm babbling. Barbie, say something.
Well, I have to say, if I didn't know you were consider yourself a dramatic actress, because I've only seen you do comedy, and your comedic timing is wonderful.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes, and it's been fun for me to, I mean, I've done a little of both now, and this is, the things that happen in this play do happen in community theater. I mean, it is true to life. They don't usually all happen at the same time. Like, they don't all happen within an hour and a half.
Right.
They have to compress it here.
Yes.
When was this written? And I don't have the the playwright's name here.
I think I've got the name here.
Okay.
When it was written, I'm not sure. It's very contemporary.
It is contemporary. That's right. Yeah.
It's by Rick Abbott. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about it is it's contemporary, but it's not... Like, there's no reference to cell phones, so you could put it in the 50s if you wanted to, and you could put it today. There's no political references. There's no religious references. It's just really very much these community theater characters coming together. So it's kind of timeless in a way.
Right. Very appropriate for here.
I have the script here. It says it was copyrighted in 1980.
Oh, okay. 1980. Okay.
Okay, that's right
actually
about.
A lot further back than I would have.
Right in the middle there. Yeah. So, yeah. So, for Barbie and Danielle. Now, Danielle, you've spoken about your part contrasting to what you're used to doing on stage. Mm-hmm. My question is, how do these parts that you're playing bleed over into real life or vice versa? Confrontational, you know, pushy, firm.
My character is exasperated, is a great way to put it. She's very frustrated with this process not going more smoothly, and she gets a little bit snarky sometimes. And that has not bled over into my real life at all because I am 120% just a sweetheart.
Folks, I told you, never mind.
Cue the laughter.
We'll talk about that later. So, yeah. You're very good at being all that stuff. So what I'm kind of wondering is, what do you bring? Because I've done some theater too where we had to write our autobiographies as the person in that part, and I found it fascinating exercise, and it did enable me to move forward in certain ways that I might not have. So I just wondered, now both of you are experienced. I was a lot less so when I did that. It was an Agatha Christie piece, actually. Miss Caseborn, I was. Yeah, the Coaster did that play, too.
Oh, we should come audition for more Coaster things.
It's too late now. That was about 35 years ago, right here in Astoria. But I'm wondering, in terms of being on stage, is it liberating for you? How does it, why do you do it, besides being fun? Because you're not getting paid, I have a feeling,
it's
at the Coaster.
It's all of that. It's the energy that we get from the crowd. It's the surge when you say something and you deliver it just right and someone, you hear laughter, or you deliver your lines in a way that's moving and true and touches someone's heart, and you hear them gasp or you hear them sniffling because you have touched them in some way. It's just amazing. When I was in high school, I was painfully shy, couldn't speak to anyone. Someone told me at the 5-year class reunion he thought I was a snob in school, and I said no, I was terrified, I couldn't speak. So this has really helped me come out of my shell that way, because I didn't, it wasn't my words, I just had to bring them to life. And so that helped me to see that, you know, acceptance is there, and now I'm clearly not too shy to say very many words.
It's true.
For me, I just enjoy the process of creating, acting in particular, but in other aspects of my life as well, to get into somebody else's head and figure out their motivations and why they make the decisions they do, especially when it's all planned out for you. You have this blueprint of a script, and you get to figure out, okay, well, why do they choose these particular words, and why do they say them in this phrasing, and so that has always been fun to me. I enjoy puzzles, and I kind of see this as a puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
This is artistic algebra.
Yes.
Well, Patrick, how is it? You've been directing at least one or two a year.
I usually direct one show a year, and just then I costume design one show a year.
Okay,
but I produce all of them. I'm involved in all the producing.
Right. So. How does that relate for you? How much space or openness do you give your actors?
This particular show was very I really allowed the actors to develop without a lot of direction. I kept telling them, if you want direction, or please come to me and I'm happy to talk with you, but I trust what you're doing. And I really let them develop it, and which is, it's conducive for the show that way, because they're all the actors working together to create the show. But it's been a lot of fun. I'm actually Jerry's character, or Barbie's character, Jerry, would be me, the director. Mm-hmm. And it's very funny. It's very true to life. I'll show you the example of when we were doing, when I was doing Annie last Christmas, I had several high school students, and a couple of times they came up to me and said, you know, I have to leave rehearsal because I have a test I have to go study for, which I'm like, well, okay, you know. Well, in this play, there's a character who's in high school who keeps saying she has to leave rehearsal to go study for a test.
Oh, no.
So it really, the play really reflects a real life in many ways. But like Barbie said, not all of it would happen at the same time.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's that concentrate. Okay, folks, the whole title is Play On.
Play On is the title of the show.
I will mention that if you get a hold of either the paper version or the online version of the Coast Weekend, Our Coast, Coaster got the cover and a very nice spread on the inside, so you can read up more about it. However, it is listed as opening tonight and running through April 18th, when in fact it is opening on April 3rd.
That's right. We, due to the situation, we've decided to close the theater for 3 weeks.
Good.
So we are going to postpone the opening of Play On, and we will open on Friday, April 3rd. We're also going to be...
how long are you running?
Then we'll run for about 3 weeks. So we'll finish the scheduled run as listed.
So through the 18th.
I believe so, yes, through April 18th, yeah.
Okay.
And then also, if I can, I just wanted to mention that we also have postponed our summer auditions.
Okay.
And those will be in early April, and we'll have more information about that.
And your website is?
CoasterTheater.com.
And that's theater, R-E.
Correct.
.com. Best thing to do, go to the website and check all this out if you can't remember. Or you can give them a call. Of course,
Oh, yeah, we're still open. Okay. The box office will be open for business.
So it's 503-436-1242.
Exactly.
And you can get the information you need. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you, Carol.
I'm not going to advise you to break your legs, because you have a long way before that. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
My guests, Patrick Lathrop, the executive director at the Coaster, who's directing Play On, and actors Barbie England and Danielle Tinker. And it opens April 3rd, Fridays and Saturdays, 7:30, Sundays at 3. And I've got some music for you. This is Ellen White, and very exciting. This is happening. It is not being postponed or canceled. Tonight and tomorrow night in Nehalem at St. Catherine's Church at 6:30 p.m. It is jazz concert in Nehalem. And Julia Michi is putting this on. Tonight is jazz drummer and composer Alan Jones with John Lakey on bass, Charlie Brown III on piano. Alan played with Nina Simone and tours internationally, and Leroy Vinegar. And also tomorrow night is Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Ellen White with piano accompanist Jean-Pierre Garreau, and I've got some of her music here. Thanks for being here, folks.
Open up your eyes, close them just the same. Hey, I'm looking out for you, but I still don't know your name. I see you walking on by, but I feel you here. darling, you can't see the bending for the coming of the curve. Well, they say the world is round. I know, I know, I know, that's just your little word. You know a song is but a song until the last note has been heard.
Yeah, that is Ellen White. And again, she will be tomorrow evening as part of the jazz concert in Nehalem at St. Catherine's Church at 6:30. And tonight is jazz drummer and composer Alan Jones. Fantastic. And what's right here in front of me is also fantastic. I have three folks from the Astor Street Opry Company, and two of them are very familiar to most of us in the local area, and that would be Judith Nyland. Hi, Judith.
Hi there.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
And Chris Lynn Taylor. Hi, Chris Lynn.
Hi, how are you, Carol?
I'm sure you weren't wondering. I was going to mention you two. Now, brand new to... Well, not brand new, but newish to me is James Howe. Hi, James. Is that James or John?
John Howe.
I just remember, as I said it, I went, I don't know why I went James. But John Howe, welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
And have you been here before?
No, I have not.
Have you been on the radio anywhere before?
No.
Holy cow, folks, today is a big day. We have another radio virgin, double virgin. Congratulations. Welcome. It's
Thank
delightful.
You.
And they are here because, Judith, tell us.
Well, we are going to be presenting the real Lewis and Clark story, melodrama, or How the Finns Discovered Astoria, and it's coming up in 2 weeks.
Okay. And this is...
The ninth.
Annual
the ninth,
production.
The ninth annual.
Ninth annual. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep, yep.
Okay. Tell us the dates for us. First.
It opens
Friday, March 27th.
Okay.
And it runs that weekend. And then it for the next 4 weekends, it closes on the 19th.
Of April.
Of April.
Okay.
And we have two Sunday. It runs Thursdays and Fridays.
No.
Friday and Saturday.
Excuse me. Friday and Saturday. I'm thinking Shanghai already, believe
no,
it or not.
No.
It works. It runs Fridays and Saturdays and with two Sunday matinees, one on the 5th and one on the 19th.
Okay. And their website is asocplay.com.
Yes.
Nice and simple. And so you can... go there and check that out as well. So give us a sketch on this, and then I want to know what everybody's doing.
Okay. Well, basically, we had a fantastic turnout for the auditions this year. We have a bunch of new people.
Sweet.
We brought back some of our favorite actors like Jason Hippert and Dawson Shad, and we have... the Vineyard family, who have been staples in our group, but now they're moving up the chain and taking on bigger and bigger parts. There's three Vineyards in our show. And who else do we have? We have Lexi
have
Blackstein.
Yeah.
And we have Chris Lynn is Mama. We have Dana Lewis Allen is coming in to be Mama one weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's a long run. Not like Shanghai, but it's still.
Yeah. And we have some great newcomers like...
Okay, well, tell folks...
About the show?
Yeah, who don't know what this is.
Here's the story.
Give us a sketch, quick.
basically, it was a diary was discovered in a wall on Alameda that proved that it was not Lewis and Clark who reached the end of the Pacific Trail first, but it was a Finnish family, and they were brought along to make the beer.
Now, is that how you wrote it? Judith Nyland wrote this play. Is that how you wrote it to begin with?
Yes.
Okay. What year was that?
That would have been in 2011.
Okay. So there was already a lot of beer floating
there
around.
There was a lot of beer floating around. And the funnest part about this show is it's all original music. My sister and brother-in-law, Doctors Joyce Nyland and Stanley Azen, they wrote some of the original music, and then Phil Morrill wrote the rest.
Great.
So we had it's lively and it's fun, and it's for all ages, and you throw popcorn and you can drink beer, and we have raffles. It's fun.
And it is all ages.
All ages.
Emphasize that.
Yes.
And do you have small children in the play this year?
No. This show is mostly adults.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Chris Lynn, what are you doing in this play?
Well, I play the part I originated 9 years ago, which is Mama Frida Svensson. Who has a son named Sven and four daughters that she really wants to find husbands for.
So this is Sven Svensson.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like something might happen around here.
And Oli Kinnunen. That's
and his best friend, Oli Kinnunen. Yes.
Kinnunen. Okay. And have you been doing this part for a while, or did you take a break?
Judy wrote it for me, actually.
Yeah.
And I played it from the beginning, yes.
So you have been doing it every year. I thought you said you came back, so I thought, wait, I didn't know you left. So, okay, that's great. Now, John Howe, what's the story on you? Have you been involved with Astor Street Opry?
And Yeah, I did it from since 2007 to 2011, and I'm playing Charbonneau.
Uh-huh. And do you speak French? No.
No, but I'm trying.
or Fringlish, I guess it would be called. Yeah. And had you been in this play those first years as well, or did one of the other plays?
Yeah, I did it back in 2011.
This is the one you've been doing all along.
Yeah. And I do Shanghai, too.
What do you think about this troupe of wild folks?
It's a lot of fun. It's a great show.
Have you done any other theater?
No, just doing Shanghai.
Well, that's not quite true. John actually was one of the two men in when we did Quilters. So he will pop in, do small parts, and then pop out.
Right, right. And what does theater do for you?
It gives me something to do. It's relaxing, meet new people, and that's what I like doing.
That sounds good. Right now, we're in a period of being healthy and healing. So I'm trying to find out why, is that part of why people are involved in theater? So feeling good is definitely doing what you like to do. But you do other stuff in this area. Do you live right here in Astoria?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. I won't push you on what else you do, because I have no idea who you are. What we might discover, I'm not so sure. And so how does this play relate to Shanghai? We got a hit of it when Chris Lynn talked about Mama and her four daughters. So,
well, it's quite there's a lot of similarity, and it's the extension of history. Shanghai is its own show, right? Scrooged is 20 years later, and this one is 150 years previous. Everybody's related. There is a villain, Humphrey Q. Crook.
Humphrey.
great grandfather.
Yes, and he has a sidekick named Sneak. And you do have the mama. The last names are different, but these are Finnish rather than Norwegian people. And because the Finns did discover Astoria.
Of course.
The sisters in it, instead of being young girls, are I prefer them to be over 40, if I can find enough actresses to do it. Some are in their 60s. True cougars.
How much dancing do they do?
They do a little.
And they rerun a little bit, too. We do a chase scene.
So. Oh, now, are you, how much music is there?
A lot of music. There's like about 12 songs.
And who's the music director?
That would be me.
I suspected as much. When you came in, I thought, I forgot that you also play Mama. So.
And then we have Carlita Lewis Allen. She does the choreography, and she's been doing it since the beginning. This is the only choreographer I've ever met who can take six times with these people and teach adult men to dance in unison.
Which is part of what's so magical about the Astor Street Opry Company is that it brings up the children in the theater, all aspects of theater, and then takes them through lots of other parts of their own lives and the lives of our community. What is ASOC doing any non-local history-related stuff these days?
Any other kinds of things? We do youth theater. We're pretty much sticking to, you know, our melodramas and our youth theater. Mm-hmm. It's what works for us. It's our niche. And it also is the type of thing not other, everybody's doing. And as I told you before, we're going to bring back Junior Shanghai.
Yeah.
And so we'll have two strong youth shows because there was a great turnout for the auditions and a great calling for it. So we just decided we got to offer it.
It's great. I love that... you've kept going. How many years has Astor Street Opry Company been
36.
Here? 36 years.
Almost
and you know 37. What 36 is. 36 is double chai. 18 is chai, which stands for life.
Ah.
And 36 is double chai.
I love it.
So you're in good shape.
Good.
Yay. Thank you so much for coming in, John Howe. I'm glad you're here,
can
too.
Can I mention one thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So in answer to what's going on in town and with the virus and things, we took it upon ourselves to set up a new protocol. So what we're trying to do is create some social distance, as they like to call it. So we've removed half the seats from our theater. We're down to 56 seats. We've taken the tables, pushed them together. So not only do you have distance from each other across the table, you'll have distance across the aisle from each other. And then, of course, we've upped our standards of sanitary procedures and whatnot, because we just don't believe we should shut down completely, but we do want people to feel safe and comfortable, mm-hmm. our actors too. So we're hoping people will keep coming out and supporting local theater.
Absolutely. And it is happening. So thank you so much. Again, this is opening on March 27th and running through April 19th.
Right, and tickets can be purchased online.
Online, and, on the website.
On the website. It'll direct them to the ticket place.
Okay, asocplay.com. It's the simplest. Well, Liberty Astoria is pretty simple, too. You don't have to know how to spell anything. It's really, I like that. So thanks so much again. Chris Lynn Taylor, Judith Nyland, and John How.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
And I'm going to put on a little music. And then I also want to mention that tonight is opening, this very night is opening the Weir. And they were on the show talking about this production. It's very exciting. It's five actors, four men and one woman, Nancy Montgomery, and they are telling haunting stories in Ireland just in time for St. Patrick's Day. And right now I have my last guest is setting up. I just want to put some music on for you, and we'll be right back at you. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUNS Story. KTCB Tillamook.
De un invierno largo nació esta historia que hoy cuento entre algunos vivos y muertos. Como una ilusión, Paula fue creciendo sin saber que así nos engaña el tiempo. Al atardecer la encontré durmiendo, de tanto dormir se la llevó el viento. Se fue mi niña y se fue muy lejos.
eco y su sombra a mí me parece un eco y la sueño triste y también riendo a mí me dejó su recuerdo. Su mente de tanto reír le llegó la muerte como una ilusión. Paula fue muriendo sin saber que así nos engaña el tiempo y se fue mi niña, se fue muy lejos y su sombra a mí me parece un y la sueño triste, también riendo, a mí me dejó su recuerdo.
Well, you have been listening to Marta Gomez from Colombia, and this is a quite wonderful album called Women of the World, acoustic. However, not as wonderful as live music, which is what you're going to hear shortly. Because I have a guest in the studio who is playing tonight at Kala. And you know what, those of you who live here know what a wonderful venue that is, intimate. Although Dinah assured me that she has been working hard to clean up everything, every surface, every bit of air and the space, and it will be good. And my guest, Helen Gillet, is going to be playing cello and singing. She's from New Orleans. Well, she's a New Orleans jazz-based cello artist. We'll find out where she's really from because I just learned how to pronounce her name, which is a bit of a giveaway. When you pronounce E-T as A, that tells you right there there's something going on. And she's got a master's in music from Beloit and Loyola. And this is my favorite part, the whirling dervish of the cello. I love it. Hi, welcome, Helen. You can speak now.
Hello.
She's waving her hands at me. I'm going, no, no, we're on radio. You got to speak. This is for real.
Hi, Astoria. Good to be here.
I'm delighted to have you here. And I'm so glad to know that your show is going on tonight. And Kala, by the way, is 1017 Marine Drive, right on Marine between 11th and 10th. And the show starts at 7:30. So, Helen.
Yes.
Do you still live in New Orleans?
Or? I still live in New Orleans. I've been there 18 years. It's a lovely place, of course, to be a musician. And it's a city of live music and good food and good people. And I moved there to become a jazz cello player. quickly became a part of a lot of funk and southern rock bands and tango bands.
Oops.
And yeah, but I did also learn how to play jazz. So I learned how to comp and do things that was my life dream. So
your cello playing though goes way back.
Yes, I started playing cello when I was 9.
Okay.
I am from Belgium. And
you're born in Belgium?
Born in Belgium, huh. In Leuven, in a Flemish hospital, brought over to a French-speaking village called Beauvechain.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father's from Verviers, which is near the German border, but we're French-speaking, and so we were raised bilingual, my brother and I. And
But your English is unaccented American. So how did that happen?
Because when we were raised as bilingual kids, we learned English with my mother's American.
I see.
And she's from Chicago, so that's okay. Where my accent sort of lies.
Actually, you speak much better than folks from Chicago. You don't have a flat A.
Are we dissing Chicago?
No, no.
Oh.
My grandparents, my grandmother's from Chicago.
Okay.
Of course, she's been dead for 40 years, but yeah.
Hey, maybe our grandparents
knew each other
because my grandmother was also, she was a microbiologist at Abbott Laboratories.
Well, my grandmother was a medical pediatrician. She went to, anyway, we'll talk.
Wow, that's special.
But you know what? I think it would have to have been your great-grandma because you're a generation
Okay, fair enough, but that's impressive.
But now you've been playing cello. Now, did you, you got your degrees in music, was cello, I don't know what it means, is that your main instrument always?
Yes, okay. Yes, I started studying when I was 9. My family we moved to Singapore when I was only 2 years old, and I was raised in a French-speaking school there, but then they speak English in Singapore, so
yes.
It helped with the bilingual thing. But I started with a Filipino cello teacher when I was 9 years old. And then I carried that all the way through classical master's degree. But when I was 19, I studied with an Indian classical musician in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And she got me hooked on improvising. It just changed my life. That's when the jazz came. Jazz was right around the corner from Indian classical music for me.
Right.
So
right.
There you go. That's my
path. Wow, that's wonderful. So you have the entire spectrum. Did you choose the cello or did it choose you or your parents or what?
A little bit of both. Yeah. I wanted to play the bass because I was a freakishly tall 9-year-old girl.
Oh.
I was very tall for my age. And I saw the bass player standing up in orchestra. And I thought, well, our parents were both musical. So they kind of pushed music on us lovingly and kind of said, not if, but which instrument.
Good.
And I chose the bass. And then we went to the music store. My mom, who loved her Jacqueline Dupre, Gabrielle Fauré cellos albums, she was like, oh, she is so close. So she got me to sit down with a cello and I said, well, Mom, when do I get to stand up? And she said, oh, that'll come later. So she flat out lied. And I'm very grateful for that lie.
Yes.
Because I do love it.
I love the cello also. And I want to hear some of it too. I just wanted to check out, are you playing in New Orleans? Do you get to play much of the time with some of these groups, or how does that work in a city with so many musicians?
Yes, I do play with a lot of people, although I also have my solo show, which I'm presenting tonight, and I play a lot with that as well.
What's the show tonight going to be?
So it's my cello running through what many of you have heard is a loop pedal, and I use a Boss RC50 for you geeks out there. And I've been using it for almost a decade. So I've gotten kind of, my right foot is kind of freakishly married to the loop pedal and I don't have to think about it anymore.
Nice.
And so I can be free with my playing and I play everything from French chansons to funk and jazz and more punk rock kind of sounding songs and ballads that I've written. I have an eclectic style at this point, but it's all layers of cello. Or cello strata, as I like to say, the anthropologist in me likes that. And then I sing in French and English. So
wow. Well, why don't you give us something? And okay. And if it doesn't sound as fabulous as it should, it's my fault, not Helen's. So do you say Hélène or do you pronounce
it? Actually, because I'm on the other mic. You listen to this mic now, people.
Gotcha.
We're DIY in the studio. Thank you, Carol.
Yes, thank you, Graham.
And thank you, Graham.
Our station manager wears many hats and calls many shots. And in this case, Hélène wouldn't be doing what she's doing right now if it were just Carol. So,
all right, so here we go. This song is called Slow Drag Pavajo. It's off my latest album. And it is a dedication to a bass player from New Orleans named Alcide Pavajo, who got the nickname Slow Drag because he danced a really good slow drag. He built himself a bass out of a wooden barrel and a bedpost and some keys. And it's on exhibit at the Jazz Museum down there. And when I saw it, I thought, you can't really see my cello from here. For the listeners, I've got a lot of marks on my cello from playing a lot of shows in New Orleans and around the world. But that city will bring out the funky nature of playing, and I get carried away. And the cello's taken a healthy beating, but it's still here with me. I still give it as much love as I can to you.
I can vouch for that.
So here we go. Slow Drag Pavajo.
Cello, 'cause I've been dragging this good heart around. The grit and the ego and the noise of this town. Slow drag, Pavajo. Find me a barrel, build me cello. 'Cause Lord, I wanna strut with a barrel cello and march and parades across Broad to the bayou before my last anchor pulls away and I bury these fingers in a second grave. Slow drink, Pavajo. Find me a barrel, build me a cello. Slow drag, slow drag, slow drag. Thank you. second grade. Slow drag, pavajou, find me a cello. Find me a cello, and I'll build my barrel.
Wow, that's great.
Thanks, Carol.
You had so many different aspects of the playing the cello, and then she would bend down out of sight, which you can't tell because the music is still going, and hit some button, and then it would loop again, and the bow and the plucking and the wonderful.
Thank you, Carol.
And lovely voice. So did you study voice as well, or was that? No.
I did not. Voice came later. I like to say the cello taught me how to sing, because I learned how to sing after we had our big disaster in New Orleans called Katrina.
Yes,
and I actually lost the ability to work with all these people I was learning from. Yeah. And so I thought, well, I miss having band around, so why don't I teach myself to sing and play? So for any of you that are feeling a little bit alone and wanting to figure something out during these hard times, you know, if you play the cello, it turns out you can strum it like a guitar. Maybe you can learn to play the flute and sing at the same time.
That's trickier, why not? Hey, folks, you can see Helen Gillet at this evening, 7:30, come a little early, of course, at Kala, 1017 Marine Drive. And I'm sure Helen would be glad to visit with you. This is, you heard that, and I've got her album right here. We are out of time for hearing that. The Whirling Dervish of a Cello. And yes, she's got long, dark hair, and it swirls around her as she's playing as well. So I hope to see many of you there this evening. Thank you so much for coming in, Helen.
Thank you, Carol, and delightful. All the best to you and your community. You're doing great work here.
Thank you very much. Well, I want to let you know, if you're not at Kala, perhaps you are right one block away on Commercial at 1015 Commercial, which is the 1015 Theater, with Karen Baines directed The Weir by Connor McPherson. And that is opening this evening, Friday the 13th, which is very fitting for that play. And it's Fridays and Saturdays, 7:30. It runs through the 28th. Sundays, the 15th and the 22nd at 3:30. And it's a long one act preceded by live Irish music just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Put a plug in there. I've got a folk show on Tuesday. I'm hoping for a guest, Margaret, and we'll be hearing some Irish as well. You can go to libertyastoria.org for tickets for either of these productions. And also, don't forget, tomorrow evening is Art Walk in Astoria, and you can go at your own pace and visit as many of these fabulous galleries. Again, if you're able to pick up a copy of Coast Weekend, you've got all this information. As far as what's open and what's not, you can go to our website, coastradio.org. We've been tracking all the cancellations, and there are many of them, but catch something that isn't canceled and enjoy thoroughly. And that's how we deal with life in general. You're hearing in the background a little bit of Helen Gillet playing at Kala tonight. And thanks for being here, folks. Be well. Treasure each day. And this is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org.